This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Lake Station, KUWS. This is Jack McKenna reminding you, if you tell where he's going, he may not get there. It's Friday night, March 3rd, 1944. Lou Martin is standing by with a 6 o'clock World News Roundup. And we've got the best music from the 1944 Hit Parade coming up. The winners of last year's Oscars in this special hour-long show.
You forgot the most important part.
Oh, right. I'll be doing my Humphrey Bogart impression from Casablanca.
You know that that's not it. And you can't make it go away by not announcing it.
We're having the first time ever a radio blood drive. We're encouraging all of you and many of our regular guests on the Martin and McKenna Show to step forward and give a cup of blood.
Even Jack and I will be rolling up our sleeves.
I can't wait. Can I, Lou?
You're very excited about this.
Lou Martin is in with the Roth's Department Store News, folks. Roth's, with ironware fry pans starting at 60 cents. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The Nazis are thrown back after advancing at Anzio. A destroyer squadron blasts Jap shipping near Truk, and General Douglas MacArthur announces new landings at the Admiralty Islands. We begin our shortwave radio roundup with Wes Gallagher at Allied Headquarters in Italy.
This is Italy. Wes Gallagher in Naples. American troops fought fiercely against a three-division German attack on the center beachhead at Anzio. They've thrown the enemy back nearly a half a mile. This news comes after German forces nearly pushed the newly landed Allied troops off the beach in a near disaster. Nazi Field Commander Albert Kesselring launched his attack Tuesday morning, 3 days ago. Kesselring's troops were stopped as Allied troops held the line. By Wednesday noon, they'd regained much of their lost territory. More than 500 Nazi prisoners have been taken as Hitler has thrown a Mark IV and Tiger tanks into this heated battle for Italy. In fact, a dispatch from Associated Press correspondent Edward Kennedy, who was on the beachhead, quoted the doughboys as saying the battle was the stiffest that they've encountered. Kennedy did say the situation appeared to be well in hand. American Warhawks and British Spitfires bombed German positions, and now we're told American flying fortresses and liberators smashed Nazi troops' concentrations at the Anzio Beach. At Allied headquarters in Naples, this is Wes Gallagher reporting. Calling Sweden, come in Stockholm.
This is Stockholm. Alfred M. Schott reporting. All week, the Finnish press has been bracing the citizens of Finland for what may be a major announcement this week. As Helsinki digs out of the debris left from Red Army bombing runs, it is seeking a way out of the war with Russia. 600 Russian bombers struck Helsinki in one raid earlier this week. Another raid struck Oulu along the Gulf of Bothnia. This morning, Soviet peace terms were published for the first time. Even circles opposed to the Finnish government's wait-and-see policy in reaching an armistice with Russia view the conditions as impossible to accept. Moscow is demanding that borders be restored to 1940 parameters, which were established after the Soviet Union defeated the much smaller Finnish army. Terms also include immediate halt to the fighting. It did concede that Finland will not be occupied by Russia. The Finnish press attacked the terms as too severe and gave Finland no hope to achieve an honorable peace. It said there is no reason for Finland to withdraw its unconquered armies from strategic defensive positions. So, heavy fighting between the Red Army and Finnish forces continues. Finnish troops have penetrated Russian positions on 4 points on the western portion of the Ostness Peninsula. In Stockholm, this is Alfred M. Schock, calling Britain. Come in, London.
London here. Lewis Lochner, your correspondent. A mighty Yank convoy has reached the shores of England as Allied troops continue to prepare for the inevitable invasion of Hitler's fortress Europe. This invasion force has been toughened by the arrival of one of the largest contingents of American troops ever to cross the Atlantic. And the crossing was made without a single enemy submarine attack. The number of troops landed is, of course, a military secret. But we are told that they are combat ready and well trained. They include mechanized units and specialized fighting groups. Upon disembarking, the troops were dispersed to American bases from one end of the United Kingdom to the other. In London, this is Lewis Lochner, calling the Bismarck Sea in the South Pacific.
This is the South Pacific, Richard C. Burkholz reporting.
The Jap counterattack in the Admiralty Islands has been repulsed. In a communique from Allied headquarters, General Douglas MacArthur says the 1st Cavalry Division has solidified its hold on Los Negros Island, and more troops are landing to reinforce the Mamotte Airdrome on Los Negros Island in the Bismarck Sea. Mamotte Airdrome and its 5,000-foot runway is the prize of the invasion, which began earlier this week as it fell to the Texas-trained cavalrymen. Engineers are now whipping it into shape for Allied fighter aircraft. Still, this island is not considered one. Several thousand Japanese are on Los Negros, and even more on neighboring Manua Island, the largest of the Admiralty group. Other Allied airstrikes blasted the enemy-held New Guinea coast. Rabaul on New Britain was also hit. On an Allied base somewhere in the South Pacific, this is Richard C. Burkholz reporting, calling the Central Pacific. Come in, Daryl Berrigan.
This is the Central Pacific Theater. Your correspondent, Daryl Berrigan, here on board a strike force ship. Japanese shipping, apparently left unprotected by a reluctant Nipponese navy, has suffered new reversals. A roving squadron of destroyers has struck and sunk seven Jap ships, damaged seven others along this heavily fortified base in Truk Island among the Caroline Islands. Results of this two-day attack have been revised by the Navy. 23 ships have been sunk around the mighty Jap base at Truk, with 11 ships damaged. Still, there was no opposition from the dwindling enemy air force or Japanese Navy. Meanwhile, air attacks against Rabaul and Wewak have caused serious damage to those isolated Jap outposts. American conquest, February 6th at Kwajalein and later at Niwetok Atolls among the Marshall Islands, is apparently paying dividends in these attacks. Admiral Chester Nimitz reports bombing runs from those islands can strike the Caroline Islands. In the Central Pacific, this is Daryl Berrigan calling Niwetok Island. Come in, Richard M. Johnston.
And a Niwetok Island calling. This is a delayed report because of heavy fighting here. It is my sad duty to report that Staff Sergeant and Yank photographer John Buscemi was killed in action. Buscemi was killed during a mortar attack, which also wounded Captain Waldo Drake of Los Angeles, the Pacific Fleet Public Relations Chief, and Chicago Tribune reporter Harold Smith. The slight, dark-haired Buscemi is a veteran of five Pacific campaigns. He is the eighth correspondent to die in this theater and the second at Niwetok Atoll. Columnist Raymond Clapper was killed in an airplane crash a fortnight ago. The Yank photographer was in a group of correspondents who were approaching the front lines. They became a target for Japanese knee mortars. The shrapnel cut an artery in his head. Buscemi lived for less than 3 hours. Drake was saved when shrapnel deflected off his helmet. Buscemi's first words after the explosion were, "Where's my camera?" He actually joked with Smith while on the beachhead awaiting transfer. Buscemi was the first Yank staff correspondent killed in action in the war. He was one of the Army magazine's most published photographers. He covered the entire Kwajalein action, and he had filmed the Macon Munda Vella La Vella assaults. And before the war, he'd been a photographer with the Gary Post. On Niwetok Atoll, this is Richard M. Johnston.
Following the lead of Finland and Bulgaria, the Romanian government is seeking peace with the Allies. Romania sent a special envoy to Stockholm to meet with Soviet Ambassador Alexandria Kilonte. A delayed report from Allied 5th Army headquarters in Italy says that 5th Army Commander Lieutenant General Mark Clark narrowly escaped death on the Anzio beachhead. A German shell hit a road just 30 seconds after General Clark's car had passed the spot. The commander was making one of his regular frontline inspections. He addressed a British battalion going into battle. He drew loud cheers from the Tommies. President Roosevelt says the nation's manpower pool for new recruits and draftees is dangerously low. A special commission report released to Congress today advises against lowering physical standards and instead should draft family men. The president also pushed to remove liberal occupation deferments, especially among younger men. Some 8 million men are currently getting deferments because they are fathers or because of their civilian jobs. A couple of veteran soldiers of the Italian campaign, home on leave, punched United Mine Workers President John L. Lewis. The pair paid Mr. Lewis a visit at his Washington office. The soldier said, quoting now, "You went on strike for more money. We didn't get more money in the trenches." A rebellious House of Commons won a promise from the British War Cabinet to raise the pay of the Tommies. The angry debate began as members compared the low rate of pay with that of United States troops. The British Army base pay is 80 cents a day, compared to Canadian troops getting $1.30 a day, Australians $2, and American soldiers $1.66 a day. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
So that's why the Brits call the Yanks oversexed, overpaid, and over-air. Here's a message from Roths for you, Lou, just for you. Well, for everybody. For men, combed cotton T-shirts, white, small, medium, large, you got them all. For just $1. How about that? All wool white sweat socks, 50 cents to 65 cents. Now that's, of course, a pair, not for each one. Oh, for the ladies, what have we got here? Well, we've got some do-everything coats, go-everywhere coats. $11.50, wow, to $17.75, a wonderful array of smart coats for my lady to brag about. And for, well, for everybody, I guess you'd say, new arrivals in housewares, kills kitchen odors, Airwick, 69 cents a bottle. Roths has a reminder, let's give. Red Cross War Fund. That's all, Lou.
Running on the slogan, General MacArthur, Wisconsin's favorite son, petitions were filed today to get the commander of the Southwest Pacific on the Republican presidential ballot in Wisconsin. General MacArthur's name will be on the April 4th presidential primary ballot. Here's a wartime sign of spring. Globe Shipyards is adding an hour to its work shift, since the sunlight is lasting longer. The yard has been working 9-hour shifts since December. Under the new system, men will start work at 7 a.m. and get off at 5:30 6 days a week. The night crew will come on at 5:30 and leave at 6 a.m. 5 days a week. The change is only at the Globe Shipyards. Walter Butler Shipyard officials say that they won't change hours. And Jack, the Superior Federation of Labor is putting its complete support behind the Red Cross War Fund drive. Leonard Peterson and Charles Williams head the Labor Committee. The quota for Douglas County is $58,000, the largest goal ever set. Mr. Peterson says 43 local unions of the Superior Federation have pledged their support. He says each member will have to contribute 4 hours of wages if they're going to make their goal.
All kinds of war drives these days, Lou. You know, if I give 4 hours of wages, does that mean I don't have to get poked for blood tonight?
Yes, you still have to get poked. But after it's over, the nice nurses will have cookies and orange juice.
Woo-hoo.
Later in the program, I have a special guest and wounded soldiers from the Italian campaign who will make you glad to contribute.
Well, you know, I like helping out. It's just that me and my blood have always been very close. Thanks, Lou Martin, the most red-blooded newsman around. He, too, will be rolling up his sleeve. Okay, friends, let's check that forecast for this Friday night. Weather forecast, I mean. March 3rd, 1944. A little colder tonight, with a low around 10 degrees. Some sunshine and clouds tomorrow with a high of 32 degrees.
We've got the Oscars coming up, too, Lou, so let's kick off this Friday night bloodletting with the music from the new movie Going My Way. Sure to top the 1944 hit parade, here's Bing Crosby and Swing on a Star on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. Kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. Kind of jumped up slippery fish, and all the monkeys are in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few,
so you see it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
That's a good one. Dear Bingo, Bing Crosby and the John Scott Trotter Orchestra with Swing on a Star on Station KUWS. He had some help from the Williams Brothers Quartet, of course. The youngest is Andy Williams. He's just 14 years old. The March 5th tax filing deadline is 12 days away, friends. Talk about bloodletting. But we have someone who can help. Income tax returns are prepared by experts for just $3.50. Open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week, no waiting in lines either. At Wage Earners Income Tax Service, 917 Tower Avenue. Here's another hot hit, new to the 1944 hit parade. This is Les Brown and his Band of Renown, with vocals by Doris Day. My dreams are getting better all the time on the Martin and McKenna Show.
To think that we were strangers a couple of nights ago. it's a dream I never dreamed he'd ever sail low. Or maybe tonight I'll hold him tight when the moonbeams shine. My dreams are getting better all the time.
Just enjoyed, you and I, folks, Les Brown and his band of renown with the singing of Doris Day and My Dreams Are Getting Better All the Time on station KUWS. It's Oscar time, Lou.
Our very knowledgeable and discerning entertainment editor, Harriet Farrig, is here to give us the news. You look wonderful tonight.
Boy, that's a big hat.
You like it? Since I've been working at the shipyard, I don't get to wear my nice things as often. I wanted to get in the spirit of the Motion Picture Academy's awards ceremony.
For all I know, Oscar might be hiding in your hat.
Jack.
The famous little gold-plated statuettes are given each year by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Kay Kaiser and his band entertained more than 1,000 soldiers, sailors, and Marines with performances by Ray Bolger, Red Skelton, and Lena Horne.
And Jack Benny was very funny. He complained bitterly about comedians never winning any Oscars.
It was a glittering array of more than 2,000 fans and acting hopefuls who paid $11 admission to Grauman's Chinese Theater. May I, Lewis?
Please do, Harriet.
Best Actress Oscar went to a newcomer, Jennifer Jones, and on her 24th birthday, no less. Jennifer Jones won for her wonderful, touching portrayal of a peasant girl in Song of Bernadette.
Best Actor went to Hungarian-born Paul Lucas in his role as an impassioned anti-Nazi in Watch on the Rhine.
What? Bogey was robbed. I can't believe it.
Humphrey Bogart didn't win Best Actor, but Casablanca did. They won Best Picture and Best Director Oscars.
I'm shocked. Absolutely shocked.
Ooh, that's pretty good, Jack.
Don't encourage him, or we'll have a night filled with his Casablanca lines.
You don't think I'd get obnoxious about Casablanca just because it's a great flick? Not little old me. Anyway, here's Dooley Wilson, and As Time Goes By on the Martin and McKenna Bloody Oscar Show.
Go ahead, say it.
Play it, Sam.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you, on that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs, never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman need man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's still the same old story. A fight for love and glory. A case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by. Jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's still the same old story. A fight for love and glory. A case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time.
The very fine music of Dooley Wilson from the movie Casablanca on station KUWS.
Who's first? I'm not here for my health, you know.
Not me. I've got records to play.
Let me introduce Red Cross nurse Maud Fiske. And I've got some news coming, I think.
Well, you two wouldn't be afraid of me and my little tiny needle, would you?
Oh, of course not. We'll give blood a little later.
Yes.
Yes, you'll give blood now.
No, yes, I'm afraid of both you and your needle.
I need somebody now. I've got an empty chair.
Hello, fellas. Hope I'm not late for my commercials.
Great to see you, George.
Really great to see you. Let me welcome Mr. George G. Newton of George G. Newton Rivety. Nice to see you, sir.
Well, this is certainly a warm welcome. Hey, it's good to see you too, too.
Then it'd be, too.
What's a nurse here for?
Oh, don't mind her. So what do you have for sale today, Georgie?
Oh, something sweet. Really sweet, Jack boy. I got a real business opportunity. 140-foot by 50-foot lot with a filling station building at the corner of 3rd and Grand. Now, that's a great location. It's right next to the American Shipbuilding, Benson Electric, Superior Ironworks. It's only 4 blocks from Butler Shipyards. Lots of traffic there. It's ideal. And the owner's letting it go for just $750. Hey, that's it.
I will not be ignored.
Say, Miss...
Miss Fiske, Red Cross Blood Drive Coordinator.
Go get her, George.
What a friendly name. George G. Newton's my name, of George G. Newton Realty. My phone number is 6823.
Okay, Buster. I'm working now. Too busy for any romance you may have in mind.
No. You see, I got this sweet deal for you. A modern home in Alois. Living room, dining room, kitchen, 2 bedrooms on the first floor.
You are the most forward man I have ever met.
Why, thank you. It's also got 2 bedrooms on the second floor, a full basement, a garage. This beauty's all yours for just $1,500.
Good for you. Now, if you'll just follow me, roll up your sleeve. I need to take your blood pressure and temperature.
Okay, and I'll just take your credit rating.
Man, we sneaked out of that one. Good old George.
We're not going to get out of here without leaving a pint ourselves.
I know. I don't mind that part. It's just that I can't watch.
It's pretty hard not to watch when you're there.
I'll get in the mood, folks. It's the least we can do for our boys in service. Here's the old maestro himself, Ben Burney, from 2 years ago, 1942. This is the Army, Mr. Jones, on the Martin and McKenna Bloody
this
Show.
This is the Army. A bunch of frightened rookies were listening filled with awe. They listened while a sergeant was laying down the law. They stood there at attention, their faces turning red. The sergeant looked them over
and this is what he said. This is the Army, Mr. Jones. No private rooms or telephones. You've had your breakfast in bed before, but you won't have it there anymore. This is the Army, Mr. Green. We like our barracks nice and clean. You had a housemaid to clean your floor, but she won't help you out anymore. Do what the buglers command. They're in the Army and not in a band. This is the Army, Mr. Brown. You and your baby went to town. She had you worried, but this is war, and she won't worry you anymore.
That's the old maestro himself, Ben Burney, and all the lads, with This is the Army, Mr. Jones, on station KUWS. Friends, M&C Oil Company says, why pay more for your cigarettes? Yes, they have all the big brands, Chesterfields, Lucky's, Raleigh's, and Camel's for just 15 cents a pack, or $1.49 a carton, at M&C Oil Company and Filling Station.
She's almost done with George G. She'll be back for us.
Here comes station engineer Joe Gardonio.
Engineer in charge. Say, you two ought to be ashamed of yourselves, plotting and scheming to get out of donating blood. What's the matter with you?
Well, we want to give, of course.
Of course we do. It's just, well, you know.
Shameful. Harriet's already given blood. Even our janitor, Axel Fennell, rolled up his sleeve. Oh, for shame.
Better check the alcohol level of Axel's blood.
Now, buck up, you two.
Now, do like the skinny guy says. Buck up, you slackers. I'm here to give my pint. And have cookies. And they better have ginger snaps. Those are my favorites. And the orange juice. I'm glad to do it.
Let me introduce Douglas County Draft Board Number 1 Chairman, Colonel Joe Raffaele.
Hey, great to see you.
There'll be none of that false friendship thing. I know you think I'm a little bossy and rough.
And rude and obnoxious.
Egocentric and loud.
With no sense of humor.
Well, and you wear a bad tie.
That's enough from you, skinny boy. But before I do my duty, the Colonel's got an important announcement to make. So listen up, people. Be careful mailing letters to war prisoners. You've got to do it right. Those krauts will send the letters back. Postmaster Bethel Robinson says he's gotten a lot of letters back. And you don't want to know why?
Why?
Because the Hun doesn't have a sense of humor. That's why. When you send a letter to a German prisoner camp with a postmarking containing V for victory or win the war, well, it's not going to get through. What you got to do is put your letter in an envelope and postmark it, Postmaster Prisoner of War Mail. I'm off to give blood now, but one more thing, Martin. I'm with McKenna about Casablanca. Great flick. Watched it 6 times.
Well, you too? Oh, that's got some great lines.
Come on now, Gordy O'Donnell. Let's give some blood.
All right, you two. That's enough pitter-patter. Roll up your sleeves and come to the next room.
Well, I'll give you some good pitter for your patter here. I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world.
Welcome back to the fight. This time I know our side will win.
Raffy, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Isn't someone going to say, here's looking at you, kid, to
me? Well, we'll always have Paris.
There goes the most red-blooded guy around.
Something about the Colonel that always makes me want to stand at attention. Let's roll on now with the music, friends. Here's Glenn Miller and his orchestra and the St. Louis Blues March on the Martin and McKenna Red Cross Blood Drive Show.
Oh, yeah, man alive. That's Captain Glenn Miller and his orchestra and the St. Louis Blues March on Station KUWS.
Let me introduce Superior Evening Telegram publisher Morgan Murphy with today's editorial.
And next in line to give blood.
Boys at the club, even the blue bloods should give. Fact is, Jack and Lou and everyone listening, and despite getting poked by a needle, most people in Superior are happy to give blood. The Red Cross Mobile Blood Unit is in Superior for 5 days, and already their appointment book is filling up. Once again, people in Superior and all over America rolling up their sleeves in a practical way to show their support to our boys in uniform. It's those men and women who are sacrificing everything on the war front. Even so, it's easy to understand why the Red Cross must increase its blood plasma and fundraising goal. It's gratifying to see businesses and labor working together in this effort. All of these needs will grow greater once the invasion of Europe begins. The Red Cross is a lone agency that Congress has singled out to do the things it does for the men in the service in our country. It's the only agency permitted to have personnel in Army camps and with the troops on battlefronts. So, Jack and Lou, join me as I roll up my sleeve to give today.
Well said, Morgan Murphy, publisher of the Superior Evening Telegram.
If I were the type to feel guilty, I'd be feeling guilty by now. This one's for you, Mr. Murphy. Lawrence Welk and his orchestra and My Wild Irish Rose.
Oh, man, after my own heart.
On the Martin and McKenna Blood Drive Show.
Search everywhere, but none can compare with my wild Irish rose. My wild Irish rose, the dearest flower that grows, and someday for my sake she may let me take the bloom from my wild Irish rose.
Lawrence Welk and his orchestra and My Wild Irish Rose. On Station KUWS.
Hey, you boys, sing my special orange elixir in the kitchen icebox.
This is Axel Fennell, building janitor and engineer.
In the flesh. Until now, he's the only one who hasn't been rude enough to barge into our studio while we're on the air.
I've got good reason to be barging. Someone switched my special orange elixir with... plain old orange juice.
So what's so special about your orange juice?
Ooh, elixir. It's special. It makes it for Friday night card game with the boys down in the boiler room. It's kind of half and half.
You mean it's fire water?
A big screwdriver?
100 proof.
I think
search everywhere, but none can compare. It was like wild.
I think that I have a clue now.
Nurse Frisky is going to skin them alive.
Nurse Frisky is making it a quartet.
Oh, goodness sakes! I've never seen people have such a good time after giving blood. Hello, Axel.
Hi, Air. How's Trix?
How's Trix?
Oh, don't you worry your hey red head, dear newsboy. It's been over between Harriet and me for years.
Axel and Harriet sitting in a tree.
Harriet and Axel Fennell?
Well, it was a lonely time, and you were working covering the city council every night. I'd better be doing my community news, and then I'll get back and help Maud. Well, this blood drive has gotten off to a real patriotic start. Mrs. Catherine Brothers gave a pint of blood at the request of her son William Brothers, who is overseas. She has a second son in the service. Henry de Bruni of the East End gave his pint of blood for his three sons in the service. Miss Ida Peterson, Mrs. J. Burfield, and Mr. and Mrs. Ed Peterson all gave blood for their sons fighting overseas. Mrs. Dolores Geist celebrated her 20th birthday by coming in to give blood today, and her husband is a pilot. So many good stories.
But those city council meetings are important.
President's Birthday Ball Chairman Ray Lundgren says they raised $3,000 for the Infantile Paralysis Fund. In addition, $1,000 was donated by patrons at local theaters.
Sounds like Morgan Murphy's finished giving blood.
Hey, you mean they've been gulping my special orange juice?
Hey, we need more cookies in here.
And some of that great taste in orange juice.
And lastly, perhaps a little ironic at this point, the Women's Christian Temperance Union will hold its spring tea meeting at the home of Mrs. L.A. Martin.
Mom!
The gathering will be at 2:15 Tuesday afternoon at 1820 Hammond Avenue. Bethel Lutheran Pastor Stoley will speak.
Usually Mom's real proud that I'm working at this radio station.
Been a strange day, eh, Lou?
I think I'll go give blood now.
Oh, no, you don't. Not with my special elixir.
Say, Axel, there's another pitcher of orange juice in the fridge. It's marked with a cross, meaning Red Cross.
Well, mine was marked with three X's. That's how they got switched.
Lou has a serviceman waiting out in the lobby, folks. He's up next. An incredible story. But first, here's Eddie Condon and his Jazz Concert All-Stars with Uncle Sam Blues on the Martin and McKenna Blood Donor Special.
But he sure can take your man. Uncle Sam ain't no woman, but he sure can take your man. Women wringing their hands and a crying all over the land. I know you cry for me, baby, and pray for me every night. I know you cry for me, baby, and pray for me every night. With you in my corner, Lord knows everything's all right. Well, Fritz and told you, sure got themselves in a jam. Well, Fritz, I told you, sure got themselves in a jam. They gotta go now, crossing up my Uncle Sam.
Thank you.
That's Eddie Condon and his Jazz Concert All-Stars featuring Hot Lips Page on station KUWS. Lou has a special guest, a war hero, just returned from the Italian campaign.
This superior man had a miraculous recovery from battle wounds suffered while fighting in Italy. Corporal Louis Bennick joins us. Good evening, Corporal.
I want to say it's swell what you folks are doing here at the radio station with this blood drive and all. Man, if people only knew the value of blood plasma, they wouldn't have to be asked to give. It saved my life.
You were wounded October the 21st, 1943, near Naples in Italy.
4 long months ago. Man, it's a lifetime ago. To tell the truth, it's hard to think about it. Anyone who thinks Italy is some soft underbelly of Europe is cracked.
Can you tell the listeners what happened? It may help the success of the superior blood drive.
I'm with the amphib engineers in the 5th Army. We were in a bivouac area setting up equipment a few miles from Naples. Me and my buddy Ralph Ahoyas were talking about splitting some K rations. You know, Ralph was from Superior. His folks live here. It was 5 o'clock. Messerschmitts came out of nowhere. I mean, I swear they dropped from the sky and let us have it. We didn't have time to get to cover. Just hit the dirt. I fell face down in the dirt right next to Ralph. But we got nailed. Man, both of us ate shrapnel. I looked at Ralph, but he was already gone. And I passed out. Came to, crawled a couple hundred yards. I was hit plenty bad. Guys were running all over. I got tangled in some barbed wire, ripped my shirt off. I was plenty scared. I tried to stop the bleeding with my shirt, but that didn't work. I don't remember a lot after that.
That's when you were moved to a hospital.
Yeah, they plugged a few holes. I got it in the lungs and stomach. That's when they gave me a couple bottles of blood plasma. Man, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here telling you this story if it weren't for people donating blood. Shoot, when I got stateside to Kennedy General in Memphis, the doc looked at my chart and said, according to that, I should have been dead.
I understand you met somebody from this neck of the woods at the hospital in Italy.
Yeah, man, I did. At the evac hospital. My nurse was from Duluth. Gladys Joyce is her name. She wanted me to tell her folks she's all right. I'll tell you something. She's better than all right. Yeah, she's great. Pretty tough nursing conditions, man, but she shined. I'm proud to know her.
Corporal Louis Bennick. Putting in an important word today.
Donate, man, donate. And McKenna, play me something that swings, will ya?
I got just the thing, young man. Here's Clyde Lucas and his orchestra with We Did It Before, and We Can Do It Again on the Martin and McKenna Inspired Blood Drive Show.
We did it before, and we can do it again, and we will do it again.
We've got a heck of a job to do, but you can bet that we'll see it through.
We did it before, and we can do it again, and we will do it again.
We're one for all, and we're all for one. They'll get a licking before we're done.
Millions of voices are singing as we march along. We did it before, and we can do it again, and we will do it again.
We'll knock them over and then we'll get the guy in back of them.
We did it before, we'll do it again.
Thank you.
find Lucas and his orchestra with We Did It Before, and by gosh, we can do it again on Station KUWS. Well, that's all the time we have for this special, folks. We hope you give blood to help Superior meet its goal. Coming up now is Jack Armstrong, All-American Superman, the Lone Ranger, and Friday Night Boxing. I do believe I hear Harriet has joined the choir.
Time to roll up our sleeves, buddy.
I'm ready. I hope there's some orange elixir left.
Will somebody tell me why my orange elixir just keeps disappearing? I just fixed up that Red Cross pitcher and poof, it's gone.
Hey,
fellow buddy. Have a slug of this OJ. It's got quite a kick.
Yeah, we figure Ma here made it up special. Now, didn't she, my dear?
Colonel?
As I suspect, Colonel, you're a rank sentimentalist. All right, Lou, I can take three of them home in my automobile.
I'll take the rest.
Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Of all the chin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Paul Guggenheimer plays foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan. Other performances by Al Katz, John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Ray Paulson, Don Hansen, Don Mason, Joel Anderson, Pat Kelly, and Gene Andreese. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.
A final note about one of this episode's soldiers, Corporal Louis Bannock of Superior. Corporal Bannock not only survived the war, but was later elected sheriff of Douglas County. Sheriff Bannock would live another 60 years after the war. He passed away in 2005.
I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world.
Welcome back to the fight. This time I know our side will win.
Raffy, I think this is the beginning
of a beautiful friendship.
Why are you saying my line with me, Raffy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just... Well, because I saw Raffy. And then my bifocals glanced up and saw the bogey. And I went, brogy. So that must be me.
Normally, you just put in a nice big...
I thought it would be kind of a romantic thing.
You sweet...